Call meeting to order. And for the pledge, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just going to do a sound check. Can you hear us okay? Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Reporting communications. We have the superintendent's report.
All right. I just have a few things to report today. First of all, we have applied for a kitchen equipment grant. If successful, we should have in the neighborhood of $100,000 to upgrade and replace some of our kitchen equipment. So we should know something by the spring on that one. We had a theft over the three-day weekend. Someone cut the lock off of the gate by the shop and stole the catalytic converter out of the kitchen delivery van. It's going to cost about $600 to replace it, and that's with Tim, our mechanic, doing the work. So, thieves are taken away from the kids because that's what we have to spend the money on. I handed out earlier to you some information that has been shared with me regarding masking. We'll let you take it home and read through it. We're not going to talk about it tonight, but it's something for you to read through. And then we can talk about it at a later date if you wish. I've also included a couple of extras in there. You'll see it towards the back from the CDPH regarding the masking mandate. As you guys probably know by the Friday updates that I'm sending out that have all the COVID numbers, we have a huge spike happening in the COVID cases. So with that in mind, we've had to cancel some of the sporting events. All the dances that we were having this month have been canceled. Any other large gatherings that would be held inside will also be canceled. The Rennie dinner, if any of you were planning on going to that, that has been canceled. There's just no way we can do all of that with everything that's going on. We're hoping to see that spike start going back down, but we'll see over the next few weeks. And then I emailed you yesterday the new guidelines for quarantining for COVID and close contacts. The CDPH put out their guidelines and recommendations. And then we had a meeting, all the superintendents and nursing staff had a meeting with Dr. Liu regarding what the new guidelines look like. Basically what it looks to me, I'm just gonna paraphrase a little bit, is that they wanna make sure kids are in school. That's really what it's coming down to. So the idea of quarantining is kind of going away to an extent. So I'm just going to hit some bullet points. I did send it to you guys yesterday. A COVID positive student, if we have a COVID positive student, they will be out for 10 days, or they can shorten it to 5 days as long as they test negative on day 5 and return on day 6. So they can test on day 6, day 7, day 8, whatever day they test negative, they can come back. What we found in the testing is that I would say the majority of people that test on day 5 are still coming up positive. And maybe if they test on day 7 or 8, then they're not positive. It does have the potential to shorten the 10 days to 5 or something in between 5 and 10. If they choose not to test, then they have the 10-day quarantine. That's for a positive case. For a close contact at home, which is the most likelihood of catching COVID. Now the students may remain in school if they have a close contact at home. They will be tested once we know of a positive case. Then they're tested again on day 3 and again on day 5. And as long as they stay testing negative and they don't have any symptoms, then they can stay in school. A close contact with school, the guidelines have basically done away with tracing, and they're saying that if you have a close contact or if you have a student who's positive in a classroom, then everybody in that classroom now is considered a close contact. Instead of going around saying, are you 6 feet and all of that. But there's no requirement to quarantine. They get to remain in school. And what we've chosen to do is only test if the symptoms arise. Otherwise, no testing is required. What Dr. Liu suggested to everybody, it's not a requirement, but she suggested if you have a close contact in a classroom, that you test everybody in that classroom. Well, that doesn't work, because if we have a sixth grader who is positive and they have six classes, you're testing 180 kids, right? Now, let's say you have 10 of them in a week, you're testing 1,800 when we don't even have that many tests. So it's not a reasonable thing to do. So we're going with the extent that if, as long as they don't have symptoms, and then they do not need to test. If you have a symptomatic student, so even if they're not a close contact, a child comes in and they have some of the symptoms, for then they may return once they've tested negative and the symptoms improve, or they have a note from a doctor that says it's a different chronic condition, something like he suffers from seasonal allergies or whatever. So that one really hasn't changed that much. And then, of course, if a student, in any of these cases, if a student or a parent refuses to have their child tested, then they must quarantine for the 10 days. And an exposure at home could be a minimum of 10 days, and it could be up to, we've seen them up to 20 days, because it's 10 days from the last positive that you were associated with. So mom gets it, 4 days later, dad gets it, 4 days later, sister gets it, and now your 10 days start. So ideally, you would want to test, and then if you're negative, you get to stay in school. So that's kind of where we're going with the new guidelines, and those are only student-related. The staff-related ones are in there, and I'm not really going to go over those because they haven't really changed. So that's just kind of a glimpse of what the guidelines look like for quarantining. And they said it's a short-term thing. Dr. Liu said it. And the other thing that's kind of changed in the mentality of the health officials is, instead of trying to prevent COVID, they're now talking about living with COVID. And so that's a different kind of stance to go forward. But really for us, it's about keeping kids in school and keeping them safe while they're in school, but keeping them in school. I'll move on to enrollment. At the time of the agenda, we had 1,341 students. That's 66 students more than we had last year at this time, 8 less than we had in December. We have 147 students in our preschool program, which is 53 more than last year at this time. We have a total of 1,488 in all the groups, which is 119 more than last year. So that's what I have for reports and communication, and I can answer any questions that you may have.
Does anybody have any questions?
Hey, with the school close contact, does it make a difference if the child is masked or unmasked?
So they're supposed to be masked, right?
Well,
so
say they have a mask exemption.
Yeah, and so there is not a difference in the guidance. There used to be, because it was a modified quarantine. So the modified quarantine only worked if they were both masked. So I haven't asked that question. I probably should ask Dr. Liu that question. And Angela's not here to answer that part of it. But at this point, it doesn't look like there's a difference in, because it's no longer a modified quarantine. It's a quarantine with testing.
Right.
So
testing only if symptoms develop.
Correct.
Anybody else? Okay, she doesn't have anything.
Annette, do you have anything?
Oh, hello, everybody. Happy New Year. Just a few things. I am currently teleworking right now, but I still have access to email. And I have a school liaison work phone as well. And the number is 530-632-0255, and I'll stick it in the chat also, so you guys will have it. But it's also in my email block down at the bottom of that as well. So it's there if you need to get a hold of me. I sent out this afternoon our next parenting class, our 1-3 magic parenting class, will be on February the 1st from 9 to 11. And parents have been asking me when the next one was, so we got it out. So we hope we'll get quite a few people there. It's a good parenting class, very basic. It gives them some great strategies to use with their kids, and it just gives parents a different way of seeing children and understanding how they react to challenging behaviors. So we are hoping to get quite a few parents for that as well. Our max is 25 on Zoom, because then it, if not, then it gets a little crazy and everybody, no one gets to share or anything like that. But so that's what we'll be having on the 1st of February. Also, I recently put in a grant for Air Force K-12 STEM program. So I put in a grant for that, and it's just some basic things that I think we could use to kind of help get our STEM program moving for the base. And our child and youth, and, you know, I've included a little bit things that we can also do with the district. So just keep my fingers crossed. Hope I'll get it. It's not a whole lot of money, but it gives us a start because we have so many bases applying. So, but I kept you guys in mind as well. Also, we have a play group that meets every Thursday. And is for families that have children 0 to 5. And Miss Kim Hogue is the one that that runs that. It's a virtual play group, but it's a great play group for parents to come on, talk about things, also to help to interact with their kids and do little activities and things like that. And they pick up all the activities prior to the play group. And it's great. It just kind of gives them something to do, and we let them know of some different resources and things like that that'll be beneficial to the families. Let's see, just been really busy. We have parents coming, new families coming in, trying to get them together and get them settled. So I appreciate all that the district does to help. Every time I call or send an email, oh my gosh, we have this issue. And if you guys are right there and you guys help me all the time. Melissa Wyatt, great. Jody, you're a fantastic. Ange, all you guys, so I appreciate you. Let's see. And we're just also working and hoping that we'll be able to do some in-person events for the month of the military child, which is in April. So we're currently planning a few things in hopes that we will have some sunshine and be able to actually see each other face to face. So that is what we're working on. If not, we'll go virtual. We'll still bother you guys and get the word out about Month of the Military Child and wear purple and all that really cool stuff. So, and if the district is doing something cool, please let us know. We'd love to get that word out as well. So, but just thank you guys for all you do. I appreciate you.
Hey, Annette, I know you probably don't have the power to do anything about it, but the Grass Valley Gate continually closed is very difficult for our transportation, and it actually adds miles and a lot of costs. So if there's anything they can do about opening that gate back up sooner than later, it would be very helpful.
Okay, and I do have Major Mitchell on as well, and I'm sure he'll take note of that and take that up.
Great, thank you.
Okay, thank you guys.
Thank you, Annette.
You're welcome.
Anybody else that has anything to share or questions? Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Are there any questions? Do I have a motion? To accept the consent agenda?
I make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any other questions? So passed. Moving on to.
You have to vote.
Sorry.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. Passed. Moving on to the action items, 5.1A, approve the
SARC
reports.
So in front of you, you have all the SARC reports for each of the schools. These are annual reports that the state requires. They have to be passed in the month of January. The interesting thing is the state, if you looked at these earlier, they were partly blank because the state did not get us the information. They got the information today. For most of it, the only piece that's missing still is the teacher piece. So we will update that as soon as it comes to us. But this is the SARC report for each of the sites that is required each year. So the one, what you see now has been updated as of today. And if that, the teacher with credentials and misassignments and all that information comes from the state, we'll update it at that point, but we'll post them as is until it's updated. We have to meet the state's timeline, but they don't have to meet it, apparently.
Any discussion? Do I have a motion to approve 5.1?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Moving on to 5.2. Accept the new calendar for 2022 to 2023 student calendar.
So we had a calendar committee, and Marysville is starting their year on the 10th of August, not the 17th, and then ending on the 2nd instead of the 9th. I met with Plumas Lake and Wheatland High School, and we all decided that that was too early. It didn't give parents much time. And since we don't have a lot with Marysville anymore, now that we've brought back most of the county programs, which the county follows the Marysville calendar, we went down this road to do the 17th through the 9th, which is mirrored what we have right now. I was told 2 days ago that everybody was in agreement, but then I was told 2 days ago that Wheatland High School has decided to go on the 10th instead of the 17th. But Plumas Lake and our recommendation is both to start on the 17th and go through we would go through the 8th, they would go through the 9th. They start a day after us, but other than that, everything's the same. There's the only issue for parents that have children in our district or Plumas Lake and the high school district would be all of the breaks line up. It's just they would start a week earlier and end a week earlier at the high school than they would at the elementary.
Isn't that what we did
this year? That's exactly what we did this year. And it actually works out well.
With graduations, I think it was kind of convenient, yeah, actually.
You're absolutely right. That makes a huge difference.
And that February week is the same for the high school as well.
Yes. Yeah, everything is lined up.
It's way too early to start school.
I agree.
I agree with you there too.
I agree too. I mean, it'd be nice to push it back even further. You know, the whole thing, I mean, I've explained this to everybody before, but the whole thing started because high schools, when we were all in high school, well, when I was in high school,
me too,
we took our finals after Christmas. But now they want the first semester done before Christmas, and they want to come back and start new classes. And so to do that, they had to push it forward into August to get the same number of days in both semesters. And so that's how we've morphed into this.
We took our finals after Christmas.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't. You did not?
You took them before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, we got to study during Christmas.
Exactly.
We got to study during Christmas.
Right.
Break. Right.
But remember, we didn't start till September 1 or
after Memorial,
yeah,
Labor Day.
Yeah.
7th or whatever.
So it started morphing. And then, of course, it's going to, if the high school does go to that block schedule, which they're talking about, it will morph even more because then they really have to have the semesters lined up.
I saw a post that it was like 61% in their survey that did not want to go to the block schedule and 31% that did.
Well, I know they're not going for 22-23. So that's... whether it goes beyond that, I don't know.
They just felt with what I read of hers that with COVID.
With all the changes already.
All the changes already. And that with the quarantine days, that if you take a kid out for 5 days, that's actually like 10 days of education for them in one class. And so parents just weren't for that.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Anyway, so this is the calendar I bring forward for approval. And if you approve it, then we'll get it out to parents so they can start planning their life, assuming they can go somewhere.
So my only other question is, do you think that we should try to align with the high school, or?
I don't think it's worthy of aligning with the high school if we have to start on the 10th. Okay. I mean, I don't think that the only thing is we have some kids that do math at the high school, but I don't think that 1 week is going to make a huge difference for them.
It's nice to see Shady Creek is posted on this calendar.
Yeah. Well, we keep posting it. And
I just, you know,
yeah.
It's nice to see it. I'm hope, you know, wishful thinking.
Yep. It'd be nice to get back to some normalcy, wouldn't it?
Are there any other questions? Discussion? I'll entertain a motion for 5.2.
I will make a motion that we approve the calendar.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? So passed. Are there any board comments?
I just have to say, this is probably the first time in my tenure here that Nikki's voted for the calendar, because we got rid of the 3 week Christmas break. So yeah.
I think I voted for it last year too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Maybe. You know.
All right.
Anybody have anything to say that's up there on the screen?
There's a chat from the major that's going to look at the gate.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Thank you, sir. That'd be nice if we could get that open. I know it's troublesome, but it's really far away for us, our drivers, to go around. And now we have to pick the kids up like 10 to 15 minutes earlier in the morning just to make that route.
Oh, dark 30, right?
Yeah, no, it's definitely
not to mention the fuel costs. I mean, that right there is huge
right now, especially.
Takes away from our, again, students. Yeah. Theft from our students.
Exactly.
I copy you all, and I'll definitely inquire and see what can be done. Just to kind of lead turn the inquiry, I'm not sure if data has been compiled to just kind of show what costs of, or I guess increased costs have been associated with the detour, but that might be helpful to at least hone in on and just make a point on the importance of getting that open. I know that wing leadership is currently deliberating on our current health protection condition and whether or not it's going to be extended, which is what is impacting gate hours. And we should have an answer by tomorrow as to whether or not our current condition will be extended. And we can keep you posted on any developments there. But any data that can show the increased costs will be beneficial.
Okay, well, we'll look into that and see what we can get you.
That's great.
And that would be us and the high school both. So, yeah, thank you.
No problem, sir. Thank you.
Any other comments? It's over.
Closed session.
We'll move into closed session.